Hi, I'm Mark Brody, and this is the Friday Newscap Podcast. Each week, we review the biggest stories with experts, reporters, and commentators to put the news in perspective. Here's this week's episode.
We don't know if he killed himself. We don't know if there was a conspiracy on that one, but a lot of people have a lot of answers about this, and that's why I've called for the releasing of this information for years.
As Democrats showed up to ICE centers, the Department of Homeland Security tried to stop us by changing their guidance to try and prevent us from showing up unannounced. We will not back down, and we will keep showing up to hold them accountable.
I am not second guessing. I think we need to look at, after we get this fire managed, what went into the decision making, and if there were missteps, how we learn from that.
I think you've made a mockery of our state law related to school finance. I think you should be ashamed of yourself for how you have mistreated and abused the taxpayers of the Tulsa Union.
Federal law requires FEMA to anticipate the needs of states in disasters, to coordinate proactively, and not to wait on the state's request for positioning resources.
During our audits, every single day we catch something that represents misspending or inappropriate spending.
And with me to break down the latest campaign finance reports, some new entrants into next year's elections, and more, our former state lawmaker, Regina Cobb. Regina, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. And Attorney Tom Ryan. Tom, good morning to you.
Top of the morning to you, Mark.
So, guys, let's start with the second quarter campaign finance numbers, a bunch of races that we could get to. I want to start with the gubernatorial campaign. Karen Taylor-Robeson brought in about $575,000 plus a couple million dollar loan. Congressman Andy Biggs, about $429,000. Regina, when you look at these numbers, how significant are they, especially considering that the conventional wisdom is that money isn't really going to be much of an issue in this race for either candidate?
I agree with you. When you look at Turning Point funding, Andy Biggs is, that's not even included in on that $426,000 mm-hmm. that you were talking about. That's just an addition to that. I think what's going to be significant is how they utilize it. You see that Karen Taylor-Robeson's already got $2.2 million, I think, in media ads already set aside without any before she's even – she hasn't put out an ad, but she's got them set
aside. Well, she had a bunch earlier, but then stopped for a little while. Yeah,
but that's not what's out there.
Right.
I think that they're going to – I think that's what's going to impact it is how they utilize those funds.
Would you anticipate that this is, if not the most, one of the most expensive gubernatorial primaries in state history?
I do. It is very expensive. I had said years ago that we should be putting limits on campaigns. I think if you put a limit, and it's kind of like, you know, sports, you got a limit on how much you can spend on your players.
Like a salary cap.
A salary cap. Yeah. Yeah. And if we did that, I think that would be that would make a fairness model. Right now, it's not that way. So I disagree with the way that we just allow it to explode like it has.
I agree with the idea of limits. The problem is we have Citizens United that said money equals free speech. I disagree with the concept that money equals free speech. Money is inert. It's an object. It's not an action like free speech is. Money buys you access to speech, but it in and of itself is not free speech. But going back to the essential question here is, how is this all going to play out? Number one, you've got both Robeson and Biggs having Trump's endorsement. Right now, that's a wash for them. Secondly, it's not clear how valuable that will be by 2026, given all of the current problems with the Epstein disclosures that seem to be slow rolling out right now. It doesn't seem to be any end to that. One thing to keep in mind, the primary is one thing. Last year, or the last time around, Robeson spent $22 million on her primary and did not beat not a great candidate, Carrie Lake. Both Robeson and Biggs have not won statewide elections like Hobbs has. And Hobbs has been, I know they're going to make a big deal about her veto record, but she has been a lot more bipartisan in her approach than the other side wants her to be. I think that's going to be very effective for her.
Tom, if you are the Katie Hobbs campaign, are you watching these two Republican candidates raising and otherwise getting a lot of money presumably some amount of it will be used on negative ads or attacking the other. In some ways, for Hobbs, might that be a good thing that these two Republican candidates are, you know, try to tear each other down a little bit before they get to her in the general?
I do. And here's the thing. They will not tear each other down over their relationship to Trump, but that's something that Hobbs will have as her opposition research when it comes time for the general. And, you know, this whole Epstein thing is not playing out well right now for Mr. Trump.
Regina, is there a way, do you think, in the primary for the two of them? Obviously, there will be some number of attack ads and other, you know, not nice things said from one to the other. Is there a way to keep it so that it's not too damaging when they get to the general election?
I don't think you ever can do that. I think if you got opposition in your primary, you're gonna have some negative campaigning, and it might not even come from the candidate itself. It's probably coming from whoever's going to be doing the IEs, yeah. The independent expenditures. They're gonna. Those are usually where the negative ad comes. That way it doesn't come from the candidate themselves.
Right. You let somebody else do sort of the dirty work.
Somebody else
there.
Do the dirty work.
Oh, yeah. Those IEs are brutal.
Brutal. They are.
and not necessarily honest either. They tend to overstate things, misstate things. And
they can.
Yeah.
And there's no consequences on saying, I mean, you could throw it out there. It's hard to pull it back.
Tom, are you guys suggesting that in politics things are not always 100% honest and truthful? Wait,
look,
what?
We you can go back to Thomas Nast. This is going on for a long time.
Wow.
Well, I think what's changed though is, and I think Regina's hit the nail on the head. It's the money that is allowed in here, and the problem is it's also disassociated the parties from their ability to control who the candidates are, so that they're more mainstream. Allowing money to control things as opposed to letting the parties control things has not been good for either party.
Yeah, I agree with that. One thing that we haven't talked about as far as the gubernatorial campaign is that we have a lieutenant governor now.
Right.
And
we will.
I'm thinking whoever, I mean, they don't have to come out with a lieutenant governor until their general election. But if they come out with a lieutenant governor and that person is a little bit more mainstream, somebody that is likable, whoever Biggs or Karen Taylor Robeson pick, I think will have a lot of influence on that.
Could we have a Lieutenant Governor Cobb?
That's no. What I was just going to – you beat me to the punch. If you're listening.
I have not. I
don't mean
not
to put you on the spot.
Running right now. Thank you, though.
All right. Well, let's talk about another election that is coming up, and this is going to have sort of some dominoes around the valley and around the state house. State Representative Jeff Weninger is going to be running for Chandler mayor. We learned last week that the current mayor, Kevin Hartke, is going to be running for the House. That one of the other current House member from that district is running for the Senate because the current senator, J.D. Mesnard, is termed out. This is one of the more competitive legislative districts in the state. It has had a Democrat representing it not that long ago, just a couple of years ago. So I guess, Tom, like when you see sort of these musical chairs, is this potentially an opening if Democrats get the right candidate to pick up a seat in the state legislature?
If the Democrats can get their act together, the answer is yes. And I'm not too hopeful about that right now. They are Democrats are in disarray in the state of Arizona. There's no mistaking that. But LD13 is a competitive district. Jennifer Pollack was the representative.
That's your neck of the woods in the valley, right?
It's my district, yeah. So I know a lot about this. So I raised my hand like Horshack here. Ooh, Mr. Cotter. First off, Kevin Hartke is a very popular mayor. I believe he's a registered Republican, but he's run very much right of center and center. So I think he's going to do well there. The big issue, though, is going to be the mayor of Chandler, because Jeff Weninger is a well-known businessman, restaurateur in Chandler, but he'll be up against Matt Orlando. The controversy—
Current city council member.
Current city council member. Yeah, he's been there before and he's come back. The controversy, which yesterday came out, there was a ruling on this yesterday in the Ruth Jones versus City of Chandler matter, is what is the meaning of the term limits? Is it just two terms as council member, and then you have to take off 4 years before you can run for two terms as Chandler mayor? That didn't get resolved in the ruling yesterday. The ruling yesterday was simply, dear Miss Jones, you had a chance to say he was not qualified when he got elected. You didn't do it. You lose. So there is going to be a special election in November where the issue will be resolved, and it looks like the choice will be 2 terms as city council member, 2 terms as mayor, and that will be the term limits as opposed to separating them out by 4 years.
I think you got a win-win situation in Chandler right there with Jeff Winninger. He is an amazing legislator and a businessman, pro-business, what he's done with the Diamondbacks this year. His Diamondbacks bill.
Yeah, the Chase yeah, Field
the Chase Field
bill.
Renovation.
Yeah.
I mean, you go back on his record, there's no way you can lose in Chandler.
Regina, do you see this as a potential? I mean, in theory, Senator Mesnard could run for the House again. He served there. He was the Speaker of the House. I would imagine if he and Mayor Harkey run, they probably have a pretty good chance of both getting elected. But if Senator Mesnard chooses not to run, is it hard to find another Republican candidate there? Is it a chance for the right Democratic candidate to maybe win?
There's a chance, but I agree with Tom. I don't think the Democrats will get their stuff together. I think they're not going to – if they were focused on this, I think they could do it. It has been done before, and they've had a good candidate with Jennifer Pollack when she was in there. Mm-hmm. And both sides worked well together. J.D. Mesnard, Pollack, all of them worked really great together. But I don't there's a chance, but I feel like it's going to be taken by the Republicans.
I see Mesnard running for higher office, not just city of not again for the House. He's been there, done that, and I think you're going to see him run for something else.
Okay.
But yeah, it's when Jennifer Pollack got elected, there were people knocking at the door. There were door hangers. The PC,
yes,
the precinct committeemen had multiple offices taken out. There was a real effort, and they did a single shot.
Right. One candidate of a party in a district.
Yeah. Correct.
Right.
That's how you win it right now. But I just don't see it happening. And getting rid of your this whole executive director election,
the chair of the Democratic Party,
has been a difficult, painful thing.
I don't think they could come out of.
Debacle. That's a good dentistry word.
All right. On that note, let's take a quick break. Tom Ryan, Regina Cobb. I'm Mark Brody in Phoenix. The Friday Newscap continues in just a moment. Good morning. It's the Friday Newscap on KJZZ 91.5. I'm Mark Brody. My guest this week, attorney Tom Ryan and former state lawmaker Regina Cobb. Regina, let me start with you on Governor Katie Hobbs went to Washington, D.C. this week. She met with a bunch of people, including the Secretary of the Interior, Doug Burgum, who apparently told her that there would be an investigation into the fire up on the north rim of the Grand Canyon that burned down the Grand Canyon Lodge and some other structures up there. There's been a lot of consternation, some bipartisan calls for an investigation into that. Are you surprised at all that the federal government has said, sure, we'll look into this?
No, I think there has to be something looked into this. When they decided that all of a sudden they're just going to look at it as a controlled burn, you don't do that in the Grand Canyon area. I mean, you have a lot of yellow pine in there. We're never going to get those back. What about the historic lodge? I mean, I've been a rim-to-rim hiker for years. I've probably done it a dozen times, and I'm just devastated that lodge is gone. And I feel like that we lost a piece of history there. It should be investigated.
Tom, is there a way to keep this from becoming a political issue or political weapon in some way?
Yeah, I think so. In fact, I think by the mere fact that these two, one current governor and former governor, sat down and talked to each other, one Democrat, one Republican, and they agreed on things, is a way to keep it from becoming, as the popular word is now, weaponized politically. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of Burgum for having the courage to sit down and talk honestly with Hobbs, and I'm also happy for Hobbs saying, "Hey, I'm putting aside political difference. This is for the state of Arizona, and actually, because the Grand Canyon is a national park, it's also a national treasure. This is a national issue." What I think is good about this is it shows that Katie Hobbs can run a center-right, center-left, center-based governor's office. I think it's good for her, and it turns out to be good for Arizona. Anytime we have politicians who work across the aisle, like Regina used to do here, that's good for everybody. So I think it's I don't see it as weaponized. I think it's going to be great.
It's interesting, Regina. It seems like over the years, the Grand Canyon has been one of the issues, maybe one of the few issues, that has really brought different groups of people, different parties together, be it, you know, during a federal government shutdown, governors from all sorts of parties have said, we'll reopen it. Or if there's an issue there, lawmakers and policymakers from both parties seem really concerned about this. I mean, do you get the sense it's sort of a logistical thing? Like it's such a big component of the state's image, the state's economy, frankly, or is there maybe something else that it just sort of has this sort of ephemeral feeling for Arizonans?
Well, I think it's historical. It's patriotic. No matter how you look at it, it is a national monument and it should be a national issue and everybody loves it. And so I think that those are the kind of issues you love to see people come together on. I remember during the Ducey administration when, you know, he said, if they're going to shut it down, we'll take over. We're not going to let it go down. And I love that. I want that. And I think now with Katie Hobbs doing, you know, the investigation and actually coming together with a federal government, a Republican federal government, and being able to do this, I think is a good thing for everybody in the state.
We are literally the Grand Canyon state.
Officially.
Officially.
We were the Valentine state, a little history here, but now we are. We slapped it across our license plates, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a big deal.
Regina, let's go back to elections for just a moment. And there's going to be a rematch, presumably a rematch, in northern Arizona with Congressman Eli Crane. The Republican incumbent will be facing off against Democrat Jonathan Nez, former president of the Navajo Nation. This is a race that was not particularly close last year, but I mean, people have said, you know, Nez did about as well as a Democrat could potentially do in that district. So maybe let's give him another run. Is it significant that, like, is it possible that he could do better the second time? Or are we looking at same candidate, same result?
Again, the Democrat Party is not organized. And I think for Nez to do better, he's going to have to be more organized and have more support behind him. The Navajo or the nation is 20% of that district. And not historically, he's going to have to get them out to vote. Mm-hmm. They're not historically voters. And so when you look at who votes, it's going to be difficult for him to raise those numbers.
Tom, it looks like you have a chart in front of you.
I did, because this one's interesting to me. First off, a congressional district 2 is huge. It covers Apache, Coconino, Gila County, Graham County, Maricopa, Mojave, Navajo, Pinal, and Yavapai.
That's almost all the counties in the state.
It does.
Yeah. There are only 15 counties, and I think I just went through 8 of them there, 9 of them. Yeah, it's huge. But here's the thing. He, in every one of the Democratic ones, Jonathan Nez knocks it out of the ballpark. He gets killed in the Republican ones, and they're big. Pinal is big. Yavapai and Gila are all big, and he wasn't even close in those. The other thing is I looked at the cash on hand from the last time, $1.4 million for Eli Crane at the end of his last campaign, and Jonathan Nez, $226,000. That's a huge difference. And so I agree with Regina. If there's going to be a chance, it's got to come out of the Navajo Nation, and there really has to be a get-out-the-vote effort there.
I also wonder, given all that we're hearing about, you know, midstream redistricting in places and, you know, some Republican states are trying to redistrict to give themselves an advantage, and Democratic states are saying, if you do that, we're going to do this. I wonder if that affects the amount that that national groups might be able to spend on a race like this, if they maybe have other sort of unexpected races that they have to either defend or suddenly become competitive. Those take precedent, and someone like Nez is kind of left out in the cold in terms of national support.
And you're absolutely right. I don't think I'm not sure about the redistricting, doing a midterm redistricting. You saw how long it takes to redistrict, and then there was lawsuits that went that occur afterwards. So I think if they're going to start pulling that, it's going to be really difficult.
One of the things we saw this last week is after Trump and Abbott announced that they may be looking at redistricting in Texas. Gavin Newsom engaged in the game of mutually assured destruction. Okay, you want to do that? We'll do the same here in California. We'll make sure we get the exact same amount that you're doing there.
You can't focus on your political campaigns if you're going to be doing something like that. That's huge.
Who your constituency is matters.
And if it changes halfway through, I would imagine. I mean, you're the one in the room who's been elected to something. I would think that would be hard.
Really difficult. Yeah, because you're planning. You already planned. You know where you're going and how you did. I had a district that was 8 hours from top to bottom driving.
Yeah.
And I had to plan that out ahead of time, where I was going to be at what time, when, how I was going to do it. I can imagine if that switched in midstream, I would be lost.
One of the nice things about Arizona is we did pass the Independent Redistricting Commission.
Yeah.
And that was a smart move. It has been manipulated a bit in the past. That's a discussion for another show. But all in all, I think it's basically worked well.
Yeah.
All right, guys, just a couple of minutes left, and we really don't have enough time to get into this too much. But I want to ask you each about this, the Tolleson Unified School District deciding to help out the Isaac School District, which earlier this year had a whole thing where they were placed into receivership and all. Now a number of GOP lawmakers, Regina, want an investigation into this. They don't like the fact that Tolleson has engaged in sort of a lease buyback arrangement where they're going to lease the buildings and sell them back with some interest. Does this become a political issue, or it could seem like one that's kind of complicated for voters?
Well, what I think is a political issue, part of it, this is superintendent, was also a consultant. I mean, you got a conflict of interest there. I think there needs to be an investigation on how that swap was done. And
with the Tolleson superintendent.
With the Tolleson, yes, exactly.
I think the question becomes whether or not any investigation is going to be performative or will it be actual. Look, our government in the state of Arizona has engaged in this very same thing with state buildings in the past.
During the Great Recession, the state sold off and leased back the Capitol.
Absolutely. And so the question, it was under Jan Brewer.
Governor Brewer, yeah.
Yes. And so it's not like it hasn't happened before. And it's not illegal, immoral, improper, or even fattening or unethical. It's just a matter of, if there's a conflict.
And it has to pass a smell test,
right.
And it's not.
Right.
And that's what they're investigating. So that's the problem here. You can it follows the law. There's nothing illegal about what they're doing. Is it right? I don't know. We've got to look into it and make sure that everybody's doing what they are supposed to be doing.
Do you expect that there will be an investigation?
I do. I think JLAC, if nothing else, is going to audit this.
The Joint Legislative Audit Committee.
Yep.
Yeah, that would be the group to do it. Tom, would you expect an audit or investigation of some sort?
Oh, yeah. They've pretty much announced it. And I think for their various reasons, they're going to go through with it. What they find will be a different story.
All right. That'll be interesting to see. All right. Tom Ryan, Regina Cobb, thanks so much to you both. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Friday Newscap from KJZZ's The Show. It's an original podcast recapping the week's biggest stories with experts, commentators, and reporters. You can get the full show podcast at podcast.kjzz.org. I'm Mark Brody. Thanks for listening.